on our Cinco de Mayo episode, May 5th, of the Big Swing Podcast, we talk about how the Bay Area baseball is back. We have Ross join us for a quick message updating on his season and his progression. We have Clint Pasillas from Dodger Nation join to give us the State of the Union on the Dodgers. And then we end with why I think 50% of first-round quarterbacks are complete busts. Pack show, all that and more on this week's episode of the Big Swing Podcast.
Throwing cheese on the Big Swing Podcast with Blue Jays pitcher Ross Stripling and co-host Cooper Searles.
What's going on, swingers? Welcome to another episode of the Big Swing Podcast. I'm your co-host, Cooper Searles. I'm going to be running solo today, but joined for the first time in a while by producer Anthony, a.k.a. Fake Clay. What's going on, bud?
Yeah, let's do this, Cooper. I'm ready to go, man. Ready to go as a co-host.
Glad to have another co-host on the pod. This is nice. But before we get started, man, anyone that's listening to this podcast knows that I like to throw a little action down on the games. I'm not always successful, but boy, does it make those games more fun. I bet a ton on the March Madness games and had a blast. Kentucky Derby, all that stuff. So we have an amazing new sponsor on this podcast that aligns perfectly with that, and that's BetOnline. BetOnline is definitely the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. You can place your bets on there, and it's free to sign up, but they also have all the news, scores, and all the odds to keep you up to date on that stuff. So I really recommend it. As a guy that likes to put down action, this is one of the best places I've seen. And get started for free. It's free to sign up. They got bonuses all the time. All you got to do is head to their website, betonline.ag, and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Guys, this is free money. They're giving you 50% back on your money, so you can have a little fun, maybe bet a little bit more than you were used to. It's all a lot of fun on betonline.ag, so go check them out. That's betonline.ag. Let's get into the pod. Anthony, I wanted to start with some baseball stuff. So we're going to have Clint Pasillas from Dodger Nation join us a little bit and talk about sort of the state of the Dodgers right now. They're the World Series champion from last year. They came off to a hot start, and they're struggling in their last 10 or so games, still early in the season. But I wanted to have Clint on to talk about the defending champions. But Anthony, you are from the Bay Area. I don't know if we talked about it on this pod, but you have two incredible baseball teams in your area. I got to ask you, are you an A's guy or are you a Giants fan?
I am an A's guy. I root for Oakland because it's just, I don't know, something about the city is just very togetherness. Everyone's whole. And when a team's winning, like the Warriors when they were in Oakland, even the We Believe Warriors, and then even times like this when the A's are on a big winning streak or were, everyone gets excited about that. And it seems everybody unites, which that's why I love Oakland.
I wish the Warriors were still playing in Oakland. We can have that conversation another day, but Anthony's over here shaking his head. But yeah, dude, those two Bay Area teams have the two best records in baseball. In the AL, the A's are 18 and 12 as we sit here, and the Giants are 17 and 11, and I think those are two teams that we just really probably didn't see that coming from them this year. Who are the couple guys that you're seeing like as standouts? I'm sure you're watching there locally.
Yeah, I mean, Laureano, the center fielder for the A's, he's awesome. I know he's only batting .243 right now, but he leads the league in stolen bases. And if you don't watch the A's all the time, he is electric in center field. I mean, this guy makes plays that you scratch your head on. His body is damaged, and he's willing to sacrifice it. And then, you know, for the Giants, their ERA, they're a top team in terms of pitching in baseball, ranked number two. So when you have teams that are hot like that and everyone's talking about the Dodgers and Padres, and then, oh, here come the Giants, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, what the hell is going on? But that's how it's been when the Giants have won the World Series. They come out the blue and you don't even know what's going on.
Right. Yeah. Everyone in that division is talking about those two teams. And then obviously we're super early still, but yeah, the Giants look great. And you mentioned Laureano in center field. He's sort of like a throwback guy to me, you know. He's like middle 200s average, but he steals bases. He's fun in the field. And I feel like when we were growing up, like early 2000s, there was a lot of those guys that were fast and, you know, weren't amazing hitters, but stole bases and were on base all the time. So yeah, he's fun to watch. He's really fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying, what was it, Grady Sizemore? the center fielder. He was awesome for his time. I know he got hurt and stuff, but that's those vibes that I get, and that's exciting. Yeah, like you said.
All right, well, we'll get into some of this Dodgers talk. We got Clint Pacias from Dodger Nation, so we'll bring him in right now. All right, Swingers, we are going to be joined now by our Dodgers expert. He's from Dodger Nation. They've been absolutely amazing to the Big Swing podcast while Ross was in LA, and we got him in. Clint, what's going on, bud?
You know what, man? I'm surviving right now. I think that's about all Dodger fans can do.
Yeah.
For the survival, but I'm doing good.
We'll just get right into it. Obviously, Clint, he works for Dodger Nation. He writes and does podcasts on the Dodgers, so no better person to kind of talk about the state of the Dodgers than Clint. So my first kind of question, and I think I have a comment on this as well, but, you know, so far, you started out pretty good. You've been 3-7 in your last 10 games. Do you have a panic button that you're ready to push at all, or are you irrational yet as a fan, or are you still feeling good about yourself?
Well, I mean, I would say almost all fan bases, if you're really in on your team, you're just built in irrational. So I will say, yes, I'm irrational, but also I understand it's not panic button season yet, man. We're a month and a few days into it. Dodgers, like, I mean, there's a whole bunch of teams that have gone through a bunch of injuries, and the Dodgers are not without their key players on the IL. So really, they haven't played with the full team so far this season. With that, you kind of look, just tread water, keep yourself alive, let everybody, you know, else in the NL West talk their shit if they want, whatever they want to do, and the Dodgers find their way to get right back to where they're supposed to be, man.
Yeah, I don't see there being any reason as an outsider to have any panic. I think one thing as baseball fans, and I'm sure as Dodger fans, like, I think we were incepted a little bit by the 60-game season last year. And because I know when I watch baseball now this season and a team goes like on a 4-game skid or looks really bad in a series, my first thought's like, oh, shit, like maybe we need to start worrying about them. Like, I think this 60-game season kind of screwed with my head.
Probably a little bit. I can see a lot of people doing that, man. It's I think Dodgers are playing, when we're recording this, they're between the doubleheader, so it's like game 29 and 30 yeah, or something like that. So that, I mean, that would have been half of the season last year.
Right.
And I mean, sure, there are a few games over 500. They're right there in that hunt. But when you got the full 162 back, it's like you're going to have to struggle to probably think back to this stretch by September, because everything, it doesn't matter. You know, these games count, the wins and losses all count, but what happens in April and May doesn't really matter once you get to September and a little bit into October.
Yeah, and you know, we see this over and over with teams trying to repeat. Usually early on, the seasons are a struggle, and it's hard to get your mind wrapped around 162 when you just competed for a World Series, and you know you're probably going to be in a position to do that again. I wanted to ask you, I thought on the Trevor Bauer stuff, I thought him coming over from obviously a talent standpoint was huge. But I think it's important when a team just wins a World Series or a championship and is trying to repeat to like just kind of throw fresh blood in there and make things still exciting and have players on the team that are still motivated to win their first World Series. So what have you seen from Trevor? Like, have you heard anyone around the locker room and everything talking about how important he has been as an addition just for like a morale standpoint?
I think, yeah. I mean, the clubhouse has loved what Bauer's brought to the team. And, you know, at the time of the signing, it's like you look at this guy, it's now you flash forward a month into the season. It's like, man, this was a very, very important signing. The Dodgers didn't sign Trevor Bauer to be the guy, to get them to the playoffs again. They had no problem with that. It was the guy to make sure they didn't have that problem they ran into against Atlanta in the NLCS last year. So, I mean, there's the other side of it, too. Yeah, it's hard to run back and win back to backs. We haven't seen it in 21 years or something like that. You do get that different blood in there, and so much of the team is still there that's been there for years, but you lost some big pieces there with Kike Hernandez is now a Red Sox. You got obviously Bauer coming in, Jock Peterson is gone, and Kike and Jock, those are two guys that are big time, clubhouse glue dudes, levity dudes. So that's a huge change. And then, hey, you could even throw back, it's the first season they haven't had, stripping the pen or doing what he does for a season. So there's just a lot of moving pieces that does make this a pretty different team that's probably supposed to drive them, you know, to another World Series berth or whatever it may be. But right now it's maybe having a little bit of a hard time gelling with some pieces hurt and missing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't overstate it. I mean, like you mentioned, those few guys that have left, it matters, man. Like, it really does. From like I think during those long stretches in the season, I think is where it really matters. Like, okay, these are my brothers. We've been around these guys for 5 years, 6 years. I played AAA with this guy. And it just, I would think, you know, obviously I'm not a locker room, but you would think it would let you settle in a little bit more, knowing that the people around you, you've been through this already, your playoff tested, all that stuff. So let's go a little bit positive. What do you see? I know you've had some criticisms I've seen on Twitter, you know, about the bats. I've seen a couple tweets, a couple memes. What are you looking forward to? Like, what do you think? How does this lineup shape out towards the end of the year? And what do you expect from that lineup?
You know, I'll throw to Dave Roberts on that. Dave tells us, has been telling us in the, you know, the press conferences every day, these guys, the numbers are going to be there at the end of the season. They're going to find their way. They're going to balance out. But when you go through these stretches, when you're missing some key guys and the bats just aren't putting it all together, everybody looks like they're kind of lost. It's tough to want to look at that end of the season. We're going to be there. But I mean, these are the Dodgers. These guys have been doing this for, you know, coming up on knock on wood, 9 years straight. They know what they're doing. They're professionals. And those numbers are going to be at or near or above career norms for most of them, you would hope.
So are you taking the Padres serious yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, coming into the season, you had to take the Padres serious. It's great for baseball to see what them going for it. I think they still have some stumbling blocks of their own, both with health and just, you know, you're getting a bunch of dudes together that are still trying to kind of figure out how to win. They had a bunch of talent. We saw this before with the Dodgers when they were first starting on the run. You look back 2015, 2016 Dodgers, they were really, really good. And I'm sure even Ross can kind of attest to this, but you face some of these teams and you haven't been there. You haven't been through, you know, in a lot of these different situations with either better ball clubs or just you're down one and not letting that kick you in the teeth. That's something the Padres are going to learn. And they, you know, they have a good ball club to be able to learn that as long as they, you know, stay healthy. But it's fun. I like the Padres being good. I like them being healthy. As much crap as we talk on them, mostly to the fan base, because don't get me going on Padres fans, man. Like, they're new to it. You can tell they've been Chargers fans for years. So this is just what they're left with. So many of them have no idea. I could ask them who's that guy who's got the statue out there at Petco Park. They probably don't even know who the hell Tony Gwynn is.
I was gonna say, was it Tony Gwynn? I think I could have called that.
You know, there are. I'm not gonna say there aren't some smart, well versed Padres fans that have been through it all,
but they haven't been there in a winning capacity where they're like competing against the Dodgers.
Yeah, hell, the last time they had been in there, Twitter wasn't even a thing. So, gotta learn how to fan a bit.
Their Twitter fingers are being refreshed because they haven't had a chance to use them yet. So,
due respect, boom, I saved it.
Oh, there you go at the end. Yeah, no, you can't be criticized for anything. I literally could tell you I hate you more than anything, but if I say no offense or all due respect, it's you can't get in trouble for it. You can say anything. No, I do see the Padres as that team that seems like maybe they're a year away. Like, they're talented as all hell, but you kind of got to go through the shit to you know, get the diamonds, I feel like. And we've seen that in all sports with these ascending teams. We saw with the Warriors and kind of going through that stretch. And then, oh, wow, we see their talent really being able to materialize. And it's kind of, you know, obviously that Braves team last year against the Dodgers had – it's a veteran team. There's some veterans on that team, Freddie Freeman, a bunch of guys, but that seemed similar there. You know, they got in front, they had momentum and everything, but when it came down to really like close out that series, you really saw the Dodgers experience come out and kind of take over down the stretch and advance. And so, yeah, I kind of see the Padres in that same lane.
Yeah. But experience plays up, man. You have to be there. You have to put in the work, all that other, you know, BS that they throw to you. We're not talking about the game. We're talking about practice. I don't know. I'm just saying shit.
No, but hey, Clint, I'm happy to have you as on the Big Swing. It's been a long time coming. We've been on your podcast a couple times. You guys have been amazing to us, writing blogs and everything about our podcast. So Happy to have you on here, man. Give us your podcast, where we can find the blogs and everything you're doing.
Absolutely not. I won't do that. Who are you? Well, you can find me on the internet. That's at RealFRG. Our podcast is Blue Heaven. Find that, Blue Heaven Pod. It's DodgersNation.com, where we do a bunch of the internet stuff, and we've written about your big swing and goats on the bump and all that kind of stuff. You guys are killing it, by the way, so keep that going. But yeah, check out all our stuff. Like, share, subscribe.
There you go. Well, we appreciate it, Clint. Talking a little Dodgers. Maybe we'll get this conversation back up when you're a two-time champion.
Right on, man. Take it easy, Coop.
Big thanks to Clint Pacias from Dodger Nation and Blue Heaven Podcast for joining to talk about the Dodgers. We actually going to have Ross come on for a little clip and update on his season. But before that, we're going to get into some NFL news. We talked about the draft last week, and it was an interesting one. It kind of played out a lot like we talked about with some trades early on. That San Francisco pick at 3 really set the tone for the rest of the draft. And we can go over all that another time. But really, what I was interested in talking about today was just something that's been on my mind with these first-round quarterbacks. And I fell victim to this. I think we all do. But when we talk about, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and even Mac Jones, I think we can talk ourselves into loving all these guys. And we find a reason why all these guys are going to work out and be superstars. But the reality is that at least half of these guys are going to be bust. And it just works out that way. You can go to the history of the draft, and it works out that half of these guys pretty much are going to be bust. I found some really interesting stats. One of them was really crazy to me. And basically it said only half of the top 10 quarterback picks ever have hit 4,000 yards or 24 touchdowns in one season. So basically you're saying that half of these guys aren't even going to be a mediocre quarterback, because most of these guys in the NFL today are easily hitting 24 touchdowns and 4,000 yards. So basically, you know, if you look at the list of those top few guys, we had Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and basically Justin Fields all go in the top 10. Basically, about half, three of those are probably going to be busts.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I totally agree with that. And man, if I had to pick one quarterback that I believe is going to carry the torch out of the draft, believe it or not, I'm going to take Trey Lance.
Wow.
I think he is the complete package. You look at quarterbacks that went to smaller schools like Josh Allen. He went to Wyoming. I was the first to say, I'm not sure how he can convert. I knew he had a cannon of an arm, but he proved me wrong, and I'm proud of that. But I think Trey Lance is the best one, even though he had limited college experience. I think he has the tools to be the complete package.
I agree with you. I didn't know anything about Trey Lance like 2 weeks ago. And in preparation for the draft a couple days before, I started doing some research, watching some videos. And obviously, he has limited tape out there and in FCS. He's not even playing top competition. But I thought the same thing. I came out of it being like, wow, this guy's got good footwork. He's athletic as hell. He looks like Cam Newton. He can throw the ball down the field deep. And I went out of it saying, like, why isn't this guy going to be a really good quarterback? And I heard a lot of things about the North Dakota State offense and how basically it was the most NFL ready. And I heard from a few GMs, obviously not personally, but I heard like McShay and a few of these guys say how he was the smartest X and O's guy in the draft out of this quarterback crop. And so all of that together tells me that, man, I think he's got a really good shot. I'm still going with Trevor Lawrence. He's been the best player for his entire life. He's been the best player in high school, number one coming out. He was the best player in college, national champion, and number one pick. And I just don't see a guy like that all of a sudden stepping into this and not succeeding, where he has succeeded at every level he's been at. He's got all the measurables. He's athletic. He's big. He can throw. So to me, Trevor Lawrence is one of the most sure things we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I would be surprised if that didn't work out. And he's with Urban Meyer, who, by the way, has nothing to prove. I think he's there because he's like, all right, let's see what we can do here. I get a young quarterback. I think he's going to be solid. But I just think with Trey Lance, It's scary because Kyle Shanahan, when he has Garoppolo, he knows his limitations. The ball is getting out of his hands quick. They're running the ball, the option. They have Deebo Samuel. But when you have a guy like Trey Lance, oh, I think Kyle Shanahan, his eyes pop like, you know, big hearts. He was in love because he gave up a lot for it. So he better be in love with the pick.
Well, and that's what we talked about last week in the podcast. Like, if you're going to move up to this spot, and it was one of the most hefty trades we've seen in the draft in a long time, like, you better be really damn sure that that's your guy. And you obviously know that a guy like Kyle Shanahan, who's sort of a quarterback whisperer, is basically saying, like, hey, I'm putting my career and my reputation on the line for this guy. Because if it doesn't work out, he's gone. He's going to be fired. And, you know, Trey Lance isn't going to go. It's going to be the coach that goes, and they'll try to figure it out from there. So I also found some more stats. You know, I talked about earlier how it's about a 50% chance that these guys, half of them are going to be busts. But the difference between, like, say, a quarterback that's not a bust and a superstar, like, for example, Aaron Rodgers, MVP last year, he has 48 touchdowns and basically 4,300 yards. In the history of the draft, since the last 25 years, only 11% of top 10 picks has ever hit 40 touchdowns. And if you want to go even further on that, first round draft picks, only 8% have had 40 touchdown seasons. And 45% of first round picks have been out of the year, that are quarterbacks, have been out of the league in 5 years. So you're basically saying it's about a 50% chance that you're going to be a bust, and it's about an 8% chance that you're going to be an MVP caliber player if you're a first round draft pick quarterback.
So who are your two busts if you had to say right now? Like, you know, of course you don't wish on anybody to be a bust, but like you said, it's inevitable that there's going to be some busts. So who are your two quarterbacks that you say, man, I think these two are busts?
The two that I would say, I think a lot of NFL quarterbacks are extremely talented, but a big part of it is the situation you go into. You brought up Trey Lance with Kyle Shanahan. Perfect situation. Even a guy like Mac Jones going and playing with Belichick, you know he's going to design an offense around his strengths. The guy definitely that I think has huge bust potential, and not because he's not a talented guy, but that's Zach Wilson. He is going to a franchise that has zero success with quarterbacks in the past. They just had a guy, Sam Darnold, that was picked in the top five that could never get his feet off the ground. And we're going to see this year if he's really worth a damn. But I think him, and then I think Justin Fields as well. And I like Justin Fields a lot. But there was a lot of things that I saw this past year in college that made me worry about him from a decision-making standpoint, from just like, it wasn't as polished as those other guys, like a Trevor Lawrence was. So the number one on that list is definitely Zach Wilson because of the situation he's in. And then Justin Fields to me is really that like boomer bust prospect. Like I would not be shocked if he's a 10-time Pro Bowler and I look like an idiot, but I wouldn't be shocked as well if he was a career backup.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. I don't disagree with you. I'd have to carry on with that. I don't want to say all the other, they're too good. I'm not going to say Trevor Lawrence is a bust because he's not going to be. I'm not going to be a hard take like that. That's too hot for me to handle.
I really think that, you know, there's a lot of number one picks that go into these situations that don't really give them a chance. Here in Houston, when we started the franchise, Houston Texans, David Carr comes in. He's the number one overall pick, and he was sacked more times in four games than Peyton Manning was in 4 years. And basically, we just didn't have a situation around him that would allow him to flourish. I do think Trevor Lawrence is different. I think he is a franchise changer. I think he is like Peyton Manning was coming to the Colts. I think he's like Aaron Rodgers in the Packers. I think, to me, he is going to elevate every single person on that field. The organization is going to be elevated. And I really believe that he's gonna work out at the next level. So let's get right into a clip from Ross. He wasn't able to join the podcast today, but he sent in, you know, kind of how he's doing. He just came back and started off of an injury. So he just gives us a little update. So let's go into our clip from Ross.
What's up, swingers? This is Ross. I just wanted to check in with you guys for a little bit with our travel schedule, going all the way from Florida to Oakland, switching time zones and everything that comes with that. Cooper and I just weren't able to sync up this week. I know this isn't our normal episode structure. This is a little goofy, unorthodox, but I wanted to at least record a little something, join this episode. I also have FOMO, missing out. You know, I've done this every week for 2 years now, and I feel left out. I want to be included in the episode, so I thought I'd record something for you guys. So I thought I'd just give a little update on where we're at in the season so far with the Blue Jays specifically. At this point, you know, we're over a month into the season now, which is crazy. We've played almost 30 games, and really the Blue Jays are playing good baseball. We've survived some big injuries and now basically have our whole lineup back healthy and firing on all cylinders. We also should get Hyunjin Ryu back on this road trip, so we're really almost at full health for the first time all year, which is going to be a lot of fun. We've played to a plus 20 run differential so far, so that's props to the depth of our roster, some young guys that have really stepped up and played really well when we needed them. And really, our bullpen's killing it. I think they have a top three bullpen ERA in all of baseball. Every single one of them, from the dudes all the way down to the guys that we've called up that have been up and down, everyone's performing really well, keeping us in every game. So that's been a lot of fun to watch. And we're in the middle of our longest road trip of the season right now against some really good teams. We got Oakland, Houston, and Atlanta on this road trip. Definitely going to be a really good test for our ball club, but I think we're up for the challenge. And then about me personally, I'm back off the IL. I started against the Braves last weekend on Sunday. I felt like I threw the ball really well. It was hot in Florida. Tell you what, man, hot and humid. Only going to get more hot and humid there. Now, I was definitely getting a little fatigued there at the end of my outing, which was to be expected. I mean, I had gone 3 weeks between starts, so I think I thought that was coming, but happy that I was at least able to get into the fifth and not, you know, force our bullpen to throw six, seven innings there. So I almost gave up a grand slam to Acuna in the fifth inning, but I was able to keep it in the yard. And then my teammate Ryan Barucki came out, strikes out Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna, keeps it a two-run game. We go on to win that game and actually complete the sweep of the Braves, obviously a really good team. So that was a good series for the Blue Jays. My next start will be in Houston, which will be a lot of fun. I'll have a ton of friends and family there. I think even Cooper might make an appearance at one of those games. And then I'll have the Braves after that. So a really good test for me. You know, I'm going to go Braves, Astros, Braves, facing two really good lineups and one of them twice in a really short span. So that's kind of where you really have to play the chess match as a pitcher, right? Like, do I get them out the same way as I did the last time? Or do I show them something different, change it up, give them something they haven't seen yet? So definitely looking forward to that test and, you know, another really good battle with the Astros first and then get after the Braves. Astros would be fun because that's my hometown. So maybe after these starts, I can kind of break down, you know, what it was like facing Cooper's favorite player, Acuna, with the bases loaded, nobody out, facing the reigning MVP, Freddie Freeman. Kind of break down some of those at-bats for you guys. But until then, we'll be back next week with a normal episode. We got a guest lined up and everything. Should be a lot of fun. I think you guys will enjoy next week's episode. So look forward to that one. And I'll talk to you guys then.
On deck in the Big Swing Podcast, the Beast of the Week with Strip and Coop.
All right, it's nice to hear Ross's voice on the pod. Even when he's not here, he's making appearances, so we appreciate that, Strip. Let's get into our Beast of the Week now. Anthony, producer Anthony, Fake Clay, who are you going as your... Is this your first career Beast of the Week?
Yeah, first career Beast of the Week.
Big time. You've been listening to our Beast of the Weeks for, what, like 75 episodes. You finally get to have your own.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So mine... I mean, imagine being on the mound and you're throwing 90 on the mound and this and that. And then a line shot flashes for your eyes and you think, you know, your whole world's over. But Tyler Glasnow took a line shot from David Fletcher when it was the Rays and the Angels. And he just snatched it by accident. He didn't even mean to catch it.
Yeah.
He was just trying to get his face out the way. So, you know, there's no surgical fixing that they have to do afterwards. So he's the Beast of the Week. I don't know how he caught it. I don't even think he knew that he caught it. But, hey, he caught it. That was a great play.
Unbelievable. I do feel like those plays, more often than not, when they actually catch it, it almost is by accident, like every time. It seems like they just throw up their glove. But I thought the same thing. I thought he was going to have plastic surgery. I thought he's going to be looking like Zac Efron in a week. But shout out to Tyler Glasnow for the great reactions. Pretty good.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. But Coop, who's your Beast of the Week?
This isn't really a Beast of the Week per se, but just someone that I've been thinking about it and need to recognize. And that's CP3, Chris Paul, the point god. This guy came to Houston in a trade, and it was almost like he was towards the end of his career, people were saying. And we go to Western Conference Finals, have a really good chance to beat the Warriors. He gets hurt. And then he moves on to Oklahoma City, and they basically say, hey, Chris, we're going to get rid of you. We can shut you down. He says, nope, I'm playing. And he brings that team to the playoffs and almost beats the Rockets in the bubble, takes them to 7 games. And then he goes to this Suns team that has never been able to do anything. This organization has been shit since Steve Nash left. And they have a great player in Devin Booker that's never been able to win, ever. He's never won over 35 games in his career. They won 34 games last year. And then Chris Paul comes in with essentially the same roster, and we sit right now tied for the number one team in the entire NBA. They have won 46 games already, and Chris Paul is the only factor that's really changed on that team. So just got to show him some love. I think we forget how important he is, and he really is one of the, like, probably 5 or 6 most valuable guys in the league, and really putting, like, an importance on Devin Booker's career that otherwise he hasn't had. And now he's going to be in playoff series, and we're going to be able to elevate Booker's legacy. And so it's just really cool. So shout out to Chris Paul, CP3, the point god.
Yeah, he's a beast. And I think the Suns are going to lose in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I don't know to who. And it's unfortunate because the Suns always lose in the Western Conference Finals.
I know. But
I do think that's going to happen. He's such a, man, a magician to watch. When you teach your kid how to play basketball as a guard, you idolize him. That's who you tell your son to watch, because he's not that tall. He's 6 feet tall, and he's just a magician with the ball. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he pays attention to the little things on the court that most guys don't. And if you played the game of basketball and you really watch it, you could see, like, the impact he makes on the court the whole game, but really in those, like, last 3 or 4 minutes. He just takes over games, and he wins a lot of games late. And so Chris Paul is amazing. All right, big thanks to producer Anthony for joining today. Fun to have you on. Anthony's going to be joining us more as Ross is absent a little bit on the road. And it's fun to have you on. Glad you got to hit a beast of the week. I'm curious to see if you think it's worse or better editing this when you hear your own voice.
Oh, man. I mean, I've called a lot of play-by-play games, so I'm kind of used to it, but we'll see. You never know.
All right, Swingers, thanks again for listening to the Big Swing Podcast. As always, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is @BigSwingPodcast. We post episodes every Wednesday, so be back for those. We want to thank our awesome new sponsor, betonline.ag. All your sports news, scores, odds, and where to place your bets. It's free to sign up, so go to betonline.ag. All right, Swingers, we'll see you next week.